Welcome to IF Radio, a program brought to you by the Idea Festival.
Hello, this is Chris Kimmel for IF Radio. Today we have with us Paige Valdeseri, who is a chronic stress and trauma consultant who works with patients all over the world, helping to deal with traumatic stress and other kinds of issues coming from situations like chronic diseases, natural disasters, terrorist attacks, etc. She also has a great new book out called Pageisms for Transformational Healing. And we're really happy to have Paige with us today. We'll be talking a little bit more about the book as well. And Paige, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm honored and excited to be here.
And so tell me, obviously what you do is very, very timely and very important in today's world. And I was just beginning to get into your, when I got into your book and to your material, I was obviously, the first thing that hit me was a traumatic stress and intuitive healing consultant. And let me just start out by asking you kind of what does that mean? How did you end up at that place, and what do you do?
Great question. let me just give you a brief background that I am a licensed professional counselor with a specialization in trauma, but I've really taken it so many steps forward, leaps and bounds, and have integrated Eastern philosophies and Western philosophies together. So it's Eastern meets Western, various types of energy medicine integrated into Western ways of healing. So it's a nice combination and mix. And my specialty has been for a very long time, close to 2 decades, anything that has to do with traumatic stress, life's challenges, post-traumatic stress disorder. And Chris, I think you know that in today's living, everybody has some form of stress.
Sure.
It's just, where are they on the spectrum, and how long have they accumulated the stress, and how is it affecting their life in each moment? So I've kind of created this scenario or this modality where you incorporate Eastern versus Western to really help not only the brain, but it helps the physical, the mental, the emotional, the energetic, and the spiritual component of the whole body. So many times people can work with another individual and just kind of zone in on, you know, what's the issue, what's the problem, and that kind of just puts a Band-Aid on it.
Right.
You have to find out, you know, where's the root? Where's the roots? So then you can get to the roots so you can help the whole tree, not just one limb or one leaf of the tree. So does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. So how did you find your way to this calling, in a sense, this profession?
Another great question. I think I was your not-so-typical child because the things that I was always drawn to were things like death, people who were going through a tough time. It never bothered me, being very little and being involved in anything like that. I also grew up in a household where there was a lot of challenges. There was various types of issues in the family. So I had to deal with a lot of physical, emotional type of abuses in the family, along with some other things outside of the family. So I kind of grew up never feeling safe.
Uh-huh.
I grew up in a household that did the best that they possibly could, but I really had to pay attention to everything that was going on around me because I never knew what was coming next. When I was 13, I really wanted to work at a hospital, so I became a candy striper. And the place that I loved the best was in the emergency room. It's always been in me that I have felt comfortable around places and spaces and people that are in severe pain or a lot of challenges, difficulty. And although I was just 13, I was fine sitting with someone who just came in who had nobody with them, even if it meant just holding their hand, letting them know they were not alone. Many times in my life growing up, I felt very alone. And I think many of us in the world at times in our lives do feel alone.
Right.
And I have really gone on this journey or this expedition for myself to be out there to tell people you're not alone. Not only just, physically you and I, but there are bigger things out there than just the human experience. And I've had a lot of experiences in the intuitive and clairvoyant realm as well that I bring to the table too.
You talk about chronic stress and trauma, and you've worked people in war zones and victims of terrorist attacks, natural disasters, chronic illness, etc. How does and you work obviously? It seems like you probably work in many cases as part of a team of doctors and other kind of things working with people. What are the kind of commonalities, first of all, that you find in the people you work with? Or are there commonalities?
Oh, major commonalities across the board are, number one, feeling that they're alone, no one understands. Number two, being fearful of telling people that they're not able to function or looking as if they can't handle it. That's another commonality. What I also see across the board is many times the physical symptoms comes out first, whether it's an illness, injury, chronic medical conditions, that kind of shows up. So what comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Right.
Is it the traumatic stress, the cumulative stress, or is it the medical condition? What I find is they play off of each other. But many times people will focus on the medical because at times, although it's challenging, it can be a little bit easier to say, well, this is what's going on with me. But when it continues and it's chronic and it's cumulative, it means that, you know, you have to get to the place in the body that is stored the story. And that's what I have found, that all of our bodies, our autonomic nervous system, our fluids, our musculoskeletal system, stores the story of our life. Good, bad, indifferent, and especially the traumas and the stress. And, you know, I'm sure that you've heard of the adage, the elephant in the room.
Right.
I call it the elephant in the body. You know, we stay in our heads because so many of us think it's safe to stay in our heads. I'll keep moving forward. I don't need to connect what's going on down below the neck. Yes, I've got ache, pains. I don't feel well. I'll take something and I'll keep moving on. And what happens is you're not honoring the body or giving it permission to tell its story, to release the story, so you can start to understand what the story is and how it's affected you in your life and how it's affecting you now, both personally, professionally, spiritually.
Paige, one of the things that I know that you employ and something you actually developed called energetic body dialogue, and something that you use in your work, in the cases that you're dealing with. Can you tell us a little bit about what that exactly is and kind of how you arrived on that particular concept?
Sure. Yes, energetic body dialogue, and to shorten it, I'll just say EBD. It's something that I've seen throughout the decades that's the missing link of how someone heals. And really, it's about how to connect with the brain to the body. And I know there's a lot of treatments and techniques out there that all talks about mind-body, but this takes it many, many steps further. And I think I'd said earlier that there is, you know, we talk about the elephant in the room.
Right.
I talk about the elephant in the body, where I don't want to go there. It's safe to stay in the brain. I don't need to know everything that's going on in my body. If I have some medical issues, some injuries, some illnesses, I'll just take care of just that specific issue and problem without figuring out what's the root. So, and that's what I've seen that holds people back from actually healing and being aligned in all ways, shapes, or forms. So what I've done is, let's say somebody comes in to see me, and yes, they're having some issues in their life, whether it's personal, professional, a lot of times both, because you can't separate them both, but they're having a lot of bodily aches or chronic injuries. And someone comes in and they're having an issue in their lower back. So what I do in a very gentle way is, using various modalities with the EBD, is actually getting the person to bring their awareness to their lower back to the degree that they're actually quiet enough to hear and witness what's going on in the lower back. Because so many times a patient will come in, and we all know this, we want somebody else to figure it out for us because we're either so tired, so stressed, our schedule's so busy. So we go to providers of all sorts and say, well, what's wrong? Can you fix it? What do I need to take? And that's really good. this takes it one step further and teaches the patient that, yes, you can have practitioners and providers who help you, but you have to have ownership and responsibility for your own body every way, shape, or form. And it teaches them how to go into their body, like this lower back, actually witness what's going on, and they begin to learn what else is being held in there through their whole lifetime that has bubbled up to show some type of a medical injury or an illness or a combination. And when they start to address it, the pains start to diminish. It becomes more flexible. They feel more open in their body, and they're getting connected to the things that once frightened them that aren't that big elephant anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So does that make sense,
yeah.
Chris?
Yes, it sure does.
Connects?
No, it's obviously, I know from reading your book, I mean, clearly the integration of the mind body is very central to what you're doing in your work. So what kind of other approaches or modalities do you also employ working with people?
Geez, well, I have my background in the field of counseling and trauma, but again, I've taken it leap years further. I do a lot of various types of energy work, energy medicine. I do biodynamic cranial sacral trauma therapy. I'm a master Reiki teacher. I also teach and certified in Kundalini yoga that works with the body. I do EFT, emotional freedom technique. I'm also trained in EMDR. So what I've learned is I'm not a cookie cutter. I believe that everybody who comes to see me has their individuals, and so is their body and the way their body talks. So you really have to find a combination that works best for them that they feel comfortable with. So I integrate all of that in with my EBD. So I'm really
right.
Working with every aspect of the body, the fluids, the autonomic nervous system, the musculoskeletal, the brain, and the spirituality component, whatever that looks like
okay.
for somebody who comes in.
Do you, some of the other modalities you just talked about, can you pick one of those you find most interesting and kind of go into a little bit more detail that you find most useful?
So pick a modality.
Well,
that
yeah,
I
just
find
some of the ones you mentioned a couple of the others that you deal with, and you went through. Obviously, there was four or five of them. Just curious,
right.
are there any particular of those that you find most interesting in terms of
wow,
helping people? I know it's a tough, just kind of
yeah.
What do you find? I mean, something that you find that's most helpful, most interesting.
I think they're all interesting because they bring something all different to the table. For instance, in the biodynamic cranial sacral, I'm sure you might have heard of just cranial sacral work,
right.
Which is excellent. The biodynamic, actually, when someone works in the world of cranial sacral, as soon as the fluid starts to move in the body, that's when they stop. The biodynamic is we begin working when the fluid starts to move. And you can actually feel someone's fluid moving in their body, and you can pay attention to, there's a movement that each body should have, that each fluid should basically have, and you can feel when the fluid gets stuck.
Uh-huh.
You can feel when it's in a circular motion or back and forth, which kind of says that, the body's working some form of stress or trauma or something that's been lodged in it. And it's interesting to feel that and see how it works itself out, and then it kind of goes back to the regulatory flow of the fluid. So I really like doing that because it calms the body down and it brings down a person's anxiety. And it really brings them to a place of calmness and peace because so many of us walk around anxious, nervous, constantly going that we forget what it feels like to have that calmness and peace.
Right.
And when we're reminded of what that feels like, it's really not as scary.
Sure.
So that's a very interesting modality that I use with the EBD, and I also like the Reiki. I don't know how much you know about Reiki, but it's energy.
Why don't you tell, go ahead and explain that. I know a little bit, but why don't you explain that to us in more detail?
Yeah, Reiki is, a use of the energy from the body, from around the body. Everything is made up of energy, and I know that you're sitting in your office right there, so the desk that you might be looking at or the chair that you're on is energetic. It actually vibrates and moves. So it's using the different vibrations and the energy to actually help heal in the process of the healing process with the individual. And you can actually feel from someone's body whether your hands are gently touching them or above them. You can actually feel where there's blockages in the body. And typically where there are blockages, someone is holding again something that's challenging, something that's difficult, or they're having a physical pain or something that's chronic. So being able to open that up while I'm talking to them through with the EBD is it, so many things are being done simultaneously. Mm-hmm. Again, it's relaxing, it's opening, it's calming, but at the same time, the person is really starting to face the things that their body has held, the past cumulative stresses, traumas, or anything in their lifetime, but it's done in a very gentle, calming way where you don't have to relive every single darn minute of every horrible thing that you've had.
Right. How do you work? How do you work with medical doctors who are also perhaps treating some of these people?
Yeah, I actually work with a lot of integrative, holistic doctors who understand the combination mm-hmm. and how much it's needed. I do a couple things. We either share patients where they understand what I do, and they're starting to look at a patient not just as, okay, they come in and they're having one or two things going on and they zone in on that one or two area. They know that whatever's going on in that person can be connected to something else in the body that has an emotional, you know, mental, spiritual component to it. So I cross-train various types of doctors as well with the EBD so they can kind of help their patients to get into the body. And then we share patients too. So if I have a patient that has medical things that clearly I am not an expert in, I, you know, refer over. And then when they notice, hey, there's a lot more here going on than just this chronic issue or in this medical, especially those who are going through, you know, various forms of cancer, their terminal, PTSD, there's such a psychological component and such a blockage in all of their body that they hold, fear, anxiety, the unknown. So they definitely send them to me so we can work on the whole area. And when someone's going through treatments, chemo, radiation, or whatever types of treatment they choose to get for a terminal type of illness, the work that I do really helps to calm the body down. I know that there are some surgeons now around the world who bring people like me into surgeries mm-hmm. in the hospitals who just do Reiki, and Reiki alone. So just imagine all the various things that I, you know, use along with the Reiki, how powerful it can be. So it shows you that the medical world is starting to realize, hey, this is more than just someone coming in and having an ache and a pain.
I was going to ask
so much more.
Yeah, one thing I was going
to
ask you is, do you ever encounter any resistance from the medical profession?
Oh, years. Oh, yes. So much so. You know, all I can do is bring it to them and plant a seed, and if they want to hear it, okay, and if not, that's okay too. So people find me who want to work with me who realize that it works and that we're not just one-dimensional. I've also found, too, because I've done a lot of work with, you know, working in the government, military, first responder communities, it's the same thing. You know, I think a lot of people are afraid of what they don't know, can't understand, can't fully explain. And I'm here to say some things aren't as explainable. That's why you have to step out and realize that, you know, you have to have faith in things that, you know, this isn't the only way to do something.
Sure.
There's so many different types of techniques and modalities to integrate to help somebody feel better, get better. And even if they're not going to get better, Chris, and their time has come and they're transitioning in their terminal, there's also ways that they can feel better while they're ending their days here.
Sure.
So there's many ways of looking at it and working with them.
Tell me about some of the work that you've done in Iraq.
Oh, well, that was, you know, an honor. I asked to go, actually, because I wanted to. I was creating behavioral health programs for a contract that we had been working on in Iraq. And I worked not only with the military, but the clinics, hospitals, first responders, and also the local national linguists who our military entails. I think you realize that our linguists travel with our troops. So I got to see a lot and work with, of course, the various cultures intertwined with our culture. So, I looked at what does the culture need? How different is it than ours? And how similar is it than ours? And, you know, whether you put somebody from Iraq in front of me, somebody from another country in front of me, yes, they have various ethnicities, culture traits, but their spirit, their soul, their body still plays out just like everybody else's. So I try to incorporate integrative behavioral health modalities in the war zones that I was doing here in the States. So that was pretty exciting, and I really got to learn a lot about the cultures, and I actually trained with an institute in Washington, D.C., where I used to live, to learn really a lot about the Middle Eastern culture. Because there's one thing is you can't go into a culture and be ignorant and think that you know all about their culture.
No, absolutely.
Same thing when I went to Africa and worked in some of the villages. You know, it's you go in, you learn from them, you respect what they do, and then see what you can integrate in that works with them. It's very honoring.
Yeah, I can imagine. Tell me, one of the things I also was interested in was in some of the part of the approach that you take. You talk about you mentioned earlier clairvoyance and also the life regression meditation.
Yes.
Tell me how those kind of enter into your work and what those are really about, and how that might help somebody in a traumatic situation. Perhaps they're an accident victim or you know, the victim of a natural disaster or something. What is that? Mm-hmm. What do you do in that kind of particular situation? That approach, and how does that help?
Well, here's where you'll have some listeners. Well, they'll say yes, they believe, and others will say that's BS.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just giving you my perspective.
Sure,
of what I have seen. I can tell you, number one, it started as a child. I grew up with a grandmother that was 100% clairvoyant.
Okay.
And so I was I grew up with it. And, you know, she always used to tell me, you have this gift, and I thought she was crazy, I don't have this gift. But I have a gift different than hers. What happens with me with my gift is I'm not a psychic, so let me be perfectly clear about that. I can put my hands on someone, and I can kind of feel, for instance, I had a guy come in to see me who's Special Forces in the Middle East, raging PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And I put my hands on him, and I could actually see one of the situations that he had gone into and kind of talk to him about it while I worked with him. So I can see some things that are in the body that the person doesn't need to talk about that I see. I also have those who have died. I could be on an airplane sitting next to someone who I don't know, and I get this message that I'm supposed to give the person next to them. And you can imagine how tricky that can be when I turn and say, hi, you don't know me, but is there an aunt in your family named this name? And their eyes kind of bulge up, and they end up having this conversation.
Yeah, I'm sure that makes for interesting plane chatter.
Yes, it does. I'm also very careful when I use it and when I don't use it. I don't really announce it a lot. It's done very quietly and appropriately.
Sure.
So what it helps is when people go through trauma, you mentioned car accidents, disasters, things like that. When I've worked at disaster scenes, car accidents or 9/11, there were things that I saw, angelic things that I saw, that when you work with people at these places and spaces, they also have the same, some of them have the same feelings and notions too. And a lot of times they think they're crazy. Hey, I felt this. I saw this. Am I crazy? And interestingly enough, when I've rolled up on scene, I have seen and felt some of the same things that they have. So it's been very validating when someone sees or feels or hears something that they think they're crazy, when I'm going, no, you're not. I've seen this. I felt it too. That helps them. It also helps when people have someone close to them die, especially when they die tragically or suddenly. If for some reason I get a message from that person, it's healing for them to realize that, okay, they're still there, or there's a message that they want to send, especially when children are taken away very early on. I've had a lot of parents. One time in my life, I worked just with families, parents, whose kids were either murdered, died of something, or, kidnapped, and there would be strange coincidences, which really weren't coincidences, things going on in the home that they couldn't explain, that really were about, their kids kind of reaching out to them. So there's little sprinkles of pieces that I do here and there. It's not my main form.
I understand.
When it comes and I get the messages, I give it. But it helps in the healing, especially when I can feel in someone's body or see, wow, they went through this, or there's been a rape in the past, or there's been sexual abuse in the past. So it helps in that process.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it is.
On your in your book, the title is Messages from the Edge, but the subtitle is Pageisms for Transformational Healing. So what what exactly are pageisms?
Well, I cannot take credit for the word pageisms, and I write that in my book, that through the decades, I was known as the sticky queen. I still am. I love sticky post-it notes. I don't know what it is, but I love all the colors.
Right.
And whenever somebody was having, you know, a difficult time and they just kept thinking the same thing over and over again, I would write down what I called an affirmation or a mantra. And I'd say, look, I want you to stick this next to the bed, in the bathroom, in your car, in your wallet, on your laptop, everywhere you see it. So when you start to think one way, just keep saying this over and over again. You know, a typical fake it till you make it. And I remember what comes to mind is a medical doctor who I had given a sticky notepad to, and we had worked together for about a year. And, you know, she came in to see me, and she said, you know, I have to tell you that that sticky note you gave me, I still have it. And she pulled it out, and it had stains on it, rips on it, all kinds of things. So she had it for such a long time. And through the years of giving these sticky notes out to my patients and my clients, each one of them started to say, oh, no, are you going to give me another pageism? And without knowing the other patients and clients, they kept saying pageism. So people were, my patients were coining this term without knowing that the other was also coining the term. So I thought, you know what, that's pretty cool that they came up with that, and it's something that helps them. So let me put a tribute to the book, you know, in there for them. So that's how pageisms came about. It didn't come about for me. It came about for
And it's also, I might add, too, that for those who are interested in the book, the pageisms are also accompanied by some really interesting photography.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. It's really nice. What,
and just so you know, my graphic designer is right there in Kentucky as well, and her name is Elizabeth Starling.
Okay.
I'm Spalding, so she does some beautiful work.
It's really, really quite nice. So how do people find you? I mean, how do people who might be in need of your expertise, how do they find you?
Easily. I mean, I have my website, and if you just put my name in, Paige Baldessari, the website comes up. And the great thing is you don't have to see me, like, face-to-face.
Okay.
I have clients all over the world. So I use Skype and, you know, Google Talk and all different kinds of things. So it's easy to find me. I'm very open. You can email, call me at any time. And I also wanted to add, too, Chris, if it's okay, there's a project that I'm working on right now with somebody else that we are in the beginning stages of creating one of the first healing and training centers with a focus on the first responder community, a place where they can come for them without any stigma and no diagnosis and no medication, that they can integrate in, whether they come by themselves, with their families, or with their units. And we're actually just beginning that process right now, and it's starting to get some traction.
Very interesting.
Paige,
thank you so much for being with us.
Let me
tell everybody again that Paige's book is Messages from the Edge, Pageisms for Transformational Healing. It's published by Old Stone Press, and you can get a copy of this. And it's a really, really interesting book. And Paige, I want to thank you so much for being with us. And just so that you will know, Idea Festival passes for 2014 are now on sale. And you can go to our website and check out the information for the passes. Again, this year it's September 30th through October 3rd. And you can begin to purchase your passes today. So having said all that, this is Chris Kimmel for IF Radio. Thank you for listening.